Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What's going down? Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon without any ads or with ads on our main feed. We're here on a Monday, which means there has been a WWE PLE, which we are here to talk about. My name is Kenny, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Kenny. Yeah, doing all right. Not doing so bad. You've just been away again, been across to the mainland. Kenny constantly on holiday, Macintosh.
I mean, it sounds like it. But you know, the thing is, I've got a very, very stressful week ahead of me. I've got Sergeant Slaughter on Thursday and Friday. Then I've got Trish next Monday and Tuesday. So I've got to have my wits about me. So I, you know, it was nice. Amsterdam's a really good city to go to. And it's also quite cheap to go to, which is good because... You know, like a flight from Glasgow to Amsterdam is like £100 return.
Wow.
So, because KLM just do like 5 flights a day or something. So, it's not that expensive to go to. You know, it's and then we stayed like in like an apartment in a hotel, but it was like 25 minutes away from the main bit. So, you could just get a tram to and from it. So, it was a relatively inexpensive trip. So, we got back yesterday. And we're here to talk about because I actually when we were there, I said, guys, I'm going to watch because they were all going to go out. I've been to Amsterdam loads of times, so I've kind of seen all the things that I desperately want to see. So whenever I go now, it's just more just to relax and have a nice time. And yeah. I said, you know what, I'm going to watch Elimination Chamber at it was 11 a.m. On Saturday because we'd all been drinking, we're all quite rough on the Saturday morning. I said, I'm just going to sit watch Elimination Chamber. So I sat and watched it. Live, and then went and met the guys afterwards for some drinks, and then we went on a pizza cruise thing.
Oh, wow.
Where you're on a cruise for 90 minutes, and you can have beer or wine or soft drinks, whatever you want, for as many as you want while you are still standing, and a pizza. So it was and it was only like €33 per person to do that, so not a bad price at all.
Sounds very civilized, Kenny.
Yes, yeah, very unlike me. But we're here to talk about, and we should mention, you have been Veluxed, but once, so we've got one more to go, but we will We'll keep people updated on
Oh,
how it's
good.
all
Well,
going.
that's it. Yeah. They arrived today. They've done one of them. Supposed that they're doing the other tomorrow, but they might not be because it looks like it's going to rain all week. So it might be next week. So the house is in chaos. But that doesn't matter anyway. We're here to talk about SmackDown Elimination Chamber. You know, and Elimination Chamber, Kenny. No chaos there. Our
No.
predictions, I think we may well have achieved a clean sweep.
We did. We achieved a clean sweep all across the board. I mean, I did want to ask you, is there anything you want to talk about from the SmackDown the night before? It was taped. There wasn't really anything on that show that has stood the test of time past Elimination Chamber, really. I mean, we had Liv Morgan and Tiffany Stratton in a match where Stratton won. We did get that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Stratton had such a good show at Elimination Chamber that we'll talk about in a minute that, you know, nobody's really talking about that anymore.
I mean, I thought it was a decent match, and Stratton won. And hang on a minute, what about Ashante the Adonis and Cedric Alexander and all their outfits they tried on, Kenny?
Well, do you know what? Years ago, I was very hard on Cedric Alexander on this podcast. And I'm a man to admit when I'm wrong. I'm not wrong here. But I am willing to say that the outfit stuff has made him marginally more interesting. So that's a win, really.
Yeah, it's.
I would rather watch 2 hours of Cedric Alexander and Ashante Adonis do anything than watch Karrion Kross and his goons ever again. Because
Yes.
Karrion Kross has now also ruined Authors of Pain for me.
Yeah, you pretty much, yeah, it's basically over, isn't it? And Street Profits as well, by association, suddenly seem less interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just the reverse Midas touch. That's what Karrion Kross has. And I have no idea why they are, you know, still prolonging our agony. I mean, it's talk about an exercise in futility. This is not going to work. This has got to be last chance saloon for him, surely. I mean, I don't want to see anyone out of a job. But I mean, I'm sorry, there's so many people waiting for his spot that are going to be more interesting than him. So, yeah, I'd rather see somebody else on SmackDown than Karrion Kross because Karrion Kross is a dead loss.
And I'm sure if Karrion Kross was to leave, he could go back to Impact. You know, they'd take him back, and you know maybe he can do something over there. But
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, they've probably got a load of, you know, convention work. There's probably all sorts of things they can do, but I mean, he needs to.
the hell's going to a convention to meet Karrion Kross? I mean,
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe Scarlett. I mean, the thing is, we've talked about this before, so let's not belabor the point. Scarlett has personality and can be a star, but she's just got to detach herself from Karrion Kross in order for her star to rise.
Yeah.
And because they're together in real life, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to do a segue so we don't keep talking about it. Speaking of stars on the rise, Bron Breakker made his in-ring debut on SmackDown, beating Dante Chen in like a minute. I mean, do you think they have plans for Bron at WrestleMania? Because it would be quite strange. I always think of the example of, do you remember when they brought Samoa Joe up to the main roster like a month before WrestleMania 35? And they had
Yeah.
him like beat up Seth Rollins. But he didn't do anything at WrestleMania that year. So he wasn't like involved in anything really. And you kind of thought, well, what was the point in bringing this guy up who's like could do something? Or maybe that was 2018 that happened. When was it? He definitely no, because he fought Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania 35. Oh no! It was WrestleMania 33. A few weeks before WrestleMania 33, because it was when Seth Rollins faced Triple H, and
Right.
that was when Samoa Joe got brought up to the main roster. But he got brought up like a month before WrestleMania, wasn't on WrestleMania. But I mean, that was more the Vince era, right? That
Yeah.
doesn't really happen in the Paul Levesque era. So you've got to assume that if Bron Breakker has been brought up and they're making a big song and a dance about him, he's got to have something to do at WrestleMania. But I don't really know what that's going to be.
Well, I don't either, because I mean, we were originally thinking that he was going to challenge Gunther, but
Yep.
Gunther's on Raw. And then, you know, our next prediction was that maybe Breakker would challenge Logan Paul. But after the events of Elimination Chamber, We know that Logan Paul is not going to be wrestling Bron Breakker at WrestleMania. He's going to be wrestling someone with the initials RKO,
The three most
Randall Keith
devastating letters in
Orton.
all of sports entertainment.
Exactly. So we know that. So yeah, I'm not really sure what Bron Breakker is going to do at WrestleMania, if anything. I mean, he's still tag team champs with Baron Corbin in NXT. So one would assume they're going to drop the belts at Stand and Deliver. And that'll be Bron Breakker's last stand in NXT. I mean, that would seem like the natural time for him and Corbin to drop those belts and for Breakker to go full time on SmackDown, wouldn't it? But as far as WrestleMania goes, yeah, good point. I don't know what he's going to do there. There's nothing obvious leaping to mind.
But
I mean, I.
it does make you think that there must be something, because I just don't think Paul Levesque is making that kind of move. Like, why is he bringing Bron Breakker up for to have nothing to do?
Well, I mean, obviously he was a participant in the Royal Rumble. He replaced Brock Lesnar for reasons we don't need to go over again. So maybe you think, well, we can't have him just turning up at Royal Rumble as like a one-off, like a Roxanne Perez type thing. You know, it's time to bring it up, bring him up. I mean, obviously it is time for Bron Breakker to join the main roster. So yeah, I mean, it is possible that he won't do anything at WrestleMania or just do Stand and Deliver. And then his career will begin proper in terms of storyline interaction on the SmackDown after WrestleMania, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It is a bit odd, isn't it? Because, I mean, obviously, we don't see that many squashes on Raw or SmackDown. And when they do happen, it's because the person isn't really figured into the creative plans. It's just so they are seen, isn't it?
I mean, it's time will tell. We'll know in the next couple of weeks what the score is going to be with Bron Breakker. The only other thing from SmackDown I think we should just give a brief mention to is the main event was LA Knight and Drew McIntyre, and the match got called off because we ended up getting a big fight between the participants of the Men's Elimination Chamber. So that was the way they closed out the show. Let's dive into Elimination Chamber itself in Perth, Australia. It kicked off at 10 a.m. UK time, which a lot of people on social media were very happy about. And to
Did you
the
watch the kickoff?
I stuck it on about 20 minutes before the show started so I could watch the match
Okay,
with
what did you
that.
think of the match?
I thought that the crowd willed it on would be my polite term. What did you think of the match?
Yeah, I mean, Indy Hartwell, I mean, she was smiling too much, wasn't she? It was like she came across as a bit of a mark, really, in the ring. It's like, well, this is a tag team title match. It's really the biggest match of your main roster run. It may well go down as the biggest match of your entire career. Would not surprise me if this ends up being the biggest match of her career. And it's like, take it seriously. Stop smiling. Stop being a giddy kipper, as we say in the north. You know, that's exactly how she was. And I can sort of understand why she was so excited and the crowd were behind her. And I mean, I thought the match was okay. I mean, it's better than, the matches they've had on TV. But the matches they've had on TV have been, only slightly better than Maxine Dupri's matches, sadly. So, at least Indy Hartwell didn't have to do the job. In the bad old days, Kenny, she would have done the job. She would have been humiliated in front of her home country crowd, wouldn't she? In the bad old days, remember?
100%. But luckily, she is under a different regime. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting because the guys were get when we were on our trip, the guys were getting ready to go out when this was on, and they're like non-wrestling fans, and they were kind of sitting, watching this and watching Asuka and Kairi come out and all that. But once it started, there wasn't really anything to pique their interest. Whereas
No.
whereas they were around for sort of the first 10 minutes of the opening chamber match, and they were way more interested in that because you could just it felt like it was for something, meant something. And you're right, I mean Indy and Candice, I mean WWE didn't really give them any push to put a bit of blame on them. They should have really had something where they did an angle on the go home show, and they had Indy kind of talk about how she wants to win the title and titles in her home country.
Yeah.
They didn't really put anything behind it. So it was a bit of a nothing match, to be honest.
It was, you're right, and it was just based upon local goodwill. I mean, that's what carried this
Yes.
match. There was no storyline support,
No.
none at all. And yeah, that's a shame really for her. And but I mean, Indy Hartwell, her offense just looks so weak. And you watch and just like, God, will you give it some welly? That those words are just, repeated in my mind over and over again. It's like, will you just put your back into it? Everything you do just looks kind of feeble. And it just gets on my nerves, Kenny, because I swear she was better than this in NXT. Maybe I'm just imagining that.
I think she was better in NXT. I think what also helped in NXT was she was involved in a really hot angle, and she felt that she was a crucial part of that. You know, the thing with her and Dexter Lumis, and her being in the way, and
Yeah.
having Austin Theory and Gargano in it as well. It kind of feels like with Indy and Candice that it almost reminds me a little bit of when Rikishi and Scotty 2 Hotty were a tag team. It's like,
Oh, yeah.
you've taken part of the act, but the essence of the act is not there.
Yeah.
So you can't really give us half of the act when the better. Well, not better people. The more over people in it are doing other stuff, like Austin Theory and like Johnny Gargano. But yeah, bit of a useless match. But luckily, the main card did not disappoint.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It opened with, I mean, the stadium looked great. It looked really tip top. They had, almost, I mean, they announced it as over 50,000 fans, 51,000. I don't think it was far off that as a real number. So it's a pretty big number to be getting for that, for one of those shows. And we get the video package highlighting everything that's going on. And then we find out Corey Graves is 40 years old. Doesn't look bad for 40, does Corey?
No, he looks all right. Yeah, he
So
looks all
good for
right.
him.
Does Corey? I always say Corey is a guy that would never have made it as a wrestler. You know,
No.
obviously it was, a terrible shame that his career ended due to concussions, but it ended up actually being, I think, much better for him in terms of career longevity in WWE because he would never have made it as a wrestler. He would have been cut almost immediately. And as an announcer, he's just been this rev. I mean, he's really good. He was really good actually almost from the start. So,
Yeah.
good for him that he's. Hopefully got a lengthy career ahead of him still, and he's already had a great run at this point.
So starting off in the pods, we had Bianca Belair, Raquel Rodriguez, Tiffany Stratton, and Liv Morgan. I do want to give Raquel Rodriguez some real props, and this sounds like it's being sarcastic, but I genuinely don't mean it. Obviously, she's had that skin condition that she's been dealing with,
Yep.
and apparently it broke out on the plane. And it takes real guts as a female performer to be able to come out there with no makeup on and just go for it. And I thought she did really well, and sort of didn't look fazed by it at all. And yeah, I thought she deserves some credit for kind of, fighting through that and giving it some welly, as you would say.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I mean, I've been an eczema sufferer. I know what she had was more serious than what I've ever had, although I've got to say I did have eczema really bad as a child. And I do understand, in a cosmetic industry like pro wrestling, where you're just being judged all the time by people everywhere. I imagine that it was, been a real ordeal for her. And I'm glad she's back. And I'm hoping that they can find a way of working through this and getting this under control so she can, wear the makeup, get back into the whole full-time gym things. I know her condition affected that, and she can just go out there and, just feel, really good about herself. Hopefully she feels good about herself anyway. I'm
Yeah.
sure she's received a lot of positive reinforcement from people. And you know, we'd like to add to that here, wouldn't we, Kenny?
Yeah, and I thought she looked great. I thought she looked really, I mean, it sounds really corny to say she looked pretty without her makeup, but I thought she did. I thought she looked really good, and I didn't look like it fazed her, so good for her.
Yeah.
But the two people who were beginning the match were Naomi and Becky Lynch. And I mean, I don't know how we do this. Let's just talk about each person and their how the match was for them. Let's start off with Naomi. My Lord. I mean, she just has not transported the TNA run to this run yet. It's just not really got there for me.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed that she's not involved in the Bloodline thing. I mean, I know she, you could say, well, she's a natural face, and she is, because she is likable and she has, you know, a real sunny disposition to her. You can just imagine her as being amazing at, like, you know, Make-A-Wish and personal and public appearances. You can imagine she'd really light up the room.
And
So I'd really
I've interviewed her. She's so nice. She's such a warm person. It's like her energy just radiates and makes you happy. So, but at the same time, you know, put that to the side for a couple of months, love, and get involved with Roman Reigns and The Rock.
Well,
I
exactly.
mean,
We've seen that. We've seen that before. And it's like, this is just old ground. And, you know, we talked about this, I've written about this. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, this is a role you can play in your sleep. But it's like, and she's still got that because she's only been back for, well, about a month now, isn't it? Just less than a month.
yeah.
And so there's still some goodwill there. But I mean, it's rapidly diminishing. I mean, they screwed up a, you know, a bridge up spot, which is spot I always associate with the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat series in '89. And like, you know, if you can't do that spot, don't do, just don't attempt it, because we all know what it's supposed to look like. And he balls that up. That looked really amateur hour, Lynch and Naomi. And yeah, she was struggling a bit there. And it was really telling, wasn't it, Kenny, when Tiffany Stratton entered the chamber, and like, people were just like, wow. The star has arrived. That was the response, wasn't it?
She, I mean, there was she did so well. I mean, Tiffany Stratton, she ended up going out of the match third. Naomi was eliminated first by Stratton,
Yeah.
and then the second person eliminated was Stratton. But she had such a good show in those first few minutes. Which she was in it for like, I think when did she come in? She came in about 5 minutes in.
Yeah,
She was
that's right.
put,
She was 13, yeah.
and then she got put out like 22 minutes. She was in for about 15 minutes overall.
She did a lot of complicated stuff in there. A lot of stuff for her to remember. I mean, she was obviously, you know, I remember the first time I saw her in NXT, I was like, she's going to be a star. She's going to be a major player. And, you know, it wasn't difficult to predict that. You could just see she had it from the very beginning. And she's obviously very attractive, which always helps. And, you know, the crowd were really into her as a baby face here. And she, some of the stuff she does is kind of like the handspring elbow thing, or, you know, which she actually did it on Lynch and Naomi, and both of them looked tremendous. And she got such power and precision, and she also can really take a beating. You can see she's fearless. You know, she was getting thrown around and bashed about and thrown into the pods, and you can see that she can take it. She's like, just bring it on, you know, just lay those blows in, you know, I can take it. And everything she does looks better as a result, doesn't it? I mean, it's like the antithesis of Indy Hartwell.
I mean, when you watch Tiffany Stratton, so I've ended up watching it twice because my other half he was going out with his pals, so he had only seen the first few minutes and he wanted to see the rest of this. And it's like you watch Tiffany Stratton, you would never believe that she's 24 and that she's only been in this a couple of years. Like, she's so good for where she is in terms of the everything looks good, nothing looked bad. There was not one thing that she did that looked bad. And
No.
there's people who've been doing this for 15 years, who, and some of the stuff looks a bit iffy,
Yeah.
but she just it's all tight, it looks really good. She looks like $1 million. Sky is the limit for Tiffany. Let's talk about Raquel Rodriguez. She was obviously added in last. I thought she had a decent enough show and she wasn't a standout in it, but I thought that she had a respectable outing. What did you think?
Yeah, I actually, you know, watched it when it was on live. I just watched it partway through, and Raquel had just entered the cage, and I thought, has she turned heel? Because she kind of, people were kind of booing her, and she was sort of acting a bit heelish. I was thinking, yes, It's time she's finally done it. And I don't think she actually had turned heel. I just
No.
thought a lot of people were just booing her, I think, because she was beating Tiffany Stratton up. And lots of people were booing Liv Morgan when she beat Tiffany Stratton up as well. I mean, Liv, who was in fourth, I mean, she really, really laid it in to Stratton. And like, she was just like, she went with it. You know, the fans were booing her. She didn't care. It's like, right, we're in a different country. Obviously, the rules are slightly different here. So I'm just going to play to the crowd. And that's what you're supposed to do as a professional wrestler, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you're just supposed to make it work in the context of the match. You know, that's what you should be doing anyway. But yeah, I thought Raquel did well here. You know, she looked really powerful. I mean, at one point, Stratton, Lynch, and Morgan attempted to pin Raquel at the same time and she kicked out. So that was a really big spot for her, you know, that she was able to kick out from three people covering her at the same time. And yeah, I thought she had a good night. I mean, I thought she did really well here.
And then Liv Morgan actually had a great night here. She was somebody who nobody expected was going to win, but she seemed to, when she was in, just kind of make her moments count, and the crowd were behind her.
The great thing is she doesn't have that weight of expectation on her like she had in 2022 when they made a champion too soon and it totally backfired on her. And you can see that it almost feels like that time off has been a blessing. Because when I thought she had a really good night at Royal Rumble, I thought she looked like a star. And she it was like she'd been working on her act tirelessly when she was out. And it's like she's now only doing things in the ring that she can do well, which is obviously what you're supposed to do. You know, it's like Ric Flair, you know, never did a drop kick. He just never did a drop kick. You think, well, Ric Flair could do anything. There's actually lots of things Ric Flair couldn't do in his prime. And he didn't do them because he didn't look good. He only did the things he could do well. So, but I mean, yeah, I thought Liv did really well here, working the crowd, you know, playing face, playing heel when the occasion required it. And yeah, it just feels to me like, strangely, like probably in about 3 or 4 months, she'll probably be ready to be champ. Maybe not a long reign, but a short reign. And I think next time round, I think she'll succeed in the role.
Yeah, she if these two performances, Rumble and this, are to go by, then you know she's really excelled. And then
Did
Bianca.
you just sorry, we were just talking about Liv Morgan. Did you about the referred to her WWE referred to her on, was it the website or social media as was it Queen of Extreme?
Oh yeah, and Francine was not happy about this. I believe it was in the video game. The video game was going to
Oh,
be
video
calling her
game,
the
sorry.
Queen of Extreme, and Francine has trademarked that. So that's we're not going to be hearing that again about Liv. Which, you know, I mean, look, Francine, keep your gimmick. Fair enough. Go for it.
You know, if the roles were reversed, WWE would be all over somebody if they were using a phrase or
100%.
some sort of term that they'd trademark, wouldn't they?
Yeah, 100%.
So fair's
100%.
fair.
Bianca Belair, she also had a pretty good night. She kind of had this like Princess Leia gear on that she'd made, and she was obviously in there a long time. She got eliminated at the end by Liv Morgan, right before Liv Morgan got beat by Becky Lynch. But what did you rate Bianca's night here?
Yeah, I thought she did all right here. Yeah, I thought she you know, she came in last and you know, people were behind her. And she again she really gave Tiffany Stratton a hiding in there. So I mean, everyone did, and you know, Stratton got thrown into the pod. And yeah, I mean again with Belair, now she's not the center of attention anymore because I thought she was champ too long when she was champion last.
Hundred
You know,
percent, yeah.
she is, you know, really, I'm really enjoying Bianca Belair again. And sometimes being champion, it's not the right thing for a wrestler's career. And it's only obvious when they're no longer, well, actually, sometimes it's obvious when they are champion, as in the case with Liv Morgan and certainly with Bianca towards the end. But oftentimes when you're in a challenger role, it can actually be really good for your career. But I thought she did well here. Yeah, Liv ended up pinning Belair with a fluke roll up, as we know, the most devastating move in all of pro wrestling. And then Lynch surprised Morgan with a manhandle slam for the 1-2-3. So Becky Lynch won the match, as we predicted, Kenny.
Yes, and then and Becky Lynch did win it. So I guess overall, then, how did you feel about, you know, Becky Lynch was very obviously the victor, but I thought that this was a really strong chamber match overall, and I thought they all did a really good job. Most of them did. Not Naomi, but the rest of them did a pretty good job here. And this match went 32 minutes, and the compliment I can give it is it didn't feel like it went 32 minutes, which.
I would agree. I mean, it whizzed by, didn't it? So much happening. I think everyone had the opportunity to shine here. Naomi, okay, she didn't have such a great night, but
It
what
wasn't
she,
bad. It was
well,
okay,
yeah,
but
I mean, I think, we've already gone into that, but give her props. She put Stratton over, and that was actually something she did that was very valuable, is that she's been around doing this since 2010. So, 14 years this week, this year actually was, she was the women she was introduced on NXT, wasn't she? As
yes,
Naomi.
yep. She, I mean, she's
Yes.
one of the Funkadactyls, one of Brodus Clay's Funkadactyls.
Oh, yes, of course. How could
Her
I forget?
and
But yeah, I mean,
you blocked that out of your mind?
yeah. So the fact that she's, a star there, has been doing this for a long time. The fact that Stratton pinned her was meaningful and was a big win for Stratton. And Stratton didn't need any more than that. People were disappointed when Stratton was eliminated, but Stratton had done really well. And, she's only just got there. And, you never want to push someone too far too fast because it can potentially backfire on them. So I think Naomi putting Stratton over, that was, really consequential moment in the match. So, she did have value, even if she was a bit rough around the edges in some of her sequences.
So Becky Lynch goes on to WrestleMania. The next match on the show was the Judgment Day taking on New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles. I mean, when Dominic Mysterio grabbed the mic to try and introduce Judgment Day, the reaction he got was just incredible. I mean, imagine 2 years ago somebody telling you that Dominic Mysterio would be this over, and I mean, his originally he was supposed to be on this show facing Brock Lesnar,
Yeah.
but he got just as much out of the show by being the guy on the outside for the Judgment Day.
Oh
So,
yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
what did you make to, because this is a big night for Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. They were obviously not going to be winning the title, so this was all about could they put a good showing on in this match? But they had a very hot crowd who were very up for it.
Yeah, I really liked the way the match was laid out. It was laid out to flatter Dunn and Bate, for the most part. They had, the majority of the offense, and the New Catch Republic. I'm not really sure if I like that name for the team, Kenny. New Catch Republic.
It's not what I think that the issue with it is it's not a very memorable name. So
No.
like if I'm not if I you know I've got it written down here, New Catch Republic. But if we were riffing and just chatting about something and I was trying to get it out of my brain and we weren't talking about them, I could see myself mucking up. But I mean, they can change it if it doesn't go anywhere.
If it doesn't catch on, hey.
Hey.
So actually, there was a. Did you see the sign in the crowd? John Senile. Did you see that one, Kenny?
I did not see that, but
As in John
apt.
Denial. John Seen Senile.
It's listen, you get no arguments from me.
Yeah, that's senile, not as in senile, CENIAL.
I think
So,
people have got it. Yeah,
yes.
we're there with you. John Cena is
Yeah.
senile. Yes.
So I enjoyed the match. I thought it was everything that it needed to be, and actually a little bit more. And I thought Dunn and Bate really seemed like they were comfortable out there, and they did all the moves, and Balor and Priest were the perfect opponents for them because they sold so much, particularly Balor. I mean, Priest doesn't sell as much because he's a bigger guy. So, you've got to temper your selling when you're a big guy because otherwise you just end up ruining, your aura and, your sense of being formidable and all that. So I thought Balor was, really the star of this match, just working with Dunn and Bate and really just selling for them. They used a move called the Birmingham Hammer, which is like the old Kenta Kobashi burning hammer, but it's like a double team move. They used that on Priest and he kicked out and that looked really good. And I think there was people there who were willing to believe that Dunn and Bate might score the upset. I think, they did enough to convince people or persuade people that, the belts might change hands. I think there was suspension of disbelief there. And in the end, Balor pinned Dunn with a diving double foot stomp after Priest had hit the, I think it was at South Heaven. Was it off the ropes? I think it was off the ropes, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Off the ropes, yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was a big success for all four. And Dom was hilarious doing the intros. You couldn't hear him, could you? You couldn't
No.
hear what he was saying, even though the house, even though the mic.
And they actually had to black the screen, which I've never seen. I very rarely seen WWE do. They had to black the screen because everybody in the front row was flipping off Dom, and it was too visible. There was Dom is a wanker chance. It was great. So, the Australian fans definitely brought it out. Give them another PLE happily.
Oh, but Dom was at ringside as well, wasn't he? Like, after he'd done an interference thing, and
And
was
then
he
he's
put
looking at
some?
Tyler Bate going, I'm smarter than you, and then Tyler Bate tells the referee. And then she's overplaying the whole, you're out of here. And it's very good. We then had Austin Theory standing in the ring to introduce Grayson Waller. He did a couple of localized jokes talking about how he tried Vegemite and it was terrible, and he had a blooming onion at the Outback Steakhouse, which I guess is an insult of some kind to go to the Outback Steakhouse when you're in Australia. But he introduces Grayson Waller, and he comes out and he drinks a drink out of a shoe with a UFC fighter.
Yeah, that was his gimmick, wasn't it, in NXT?
Yes.
Oh, he would
So,
pretend to drink out of his
yes.
shoe. Yeah.
So he did this with UFC fighter Tai Tuivasa. And anyway, so then he gets in the ring. They introduce Seth Rollins, who just looks insane. And then they introduce Cody Rhodes. And the whole gist of the segment was basically to give the people in the crowd, the big stars, we got a little bit of storyline progression, not as much as I would like to have seen, but we did get Rollins saying that he's basically cleared any day now. And we got Cody Rhodes challenging The Rock to a match. And then in the end, we had Austin Theory getting beat up by them. So, all in all, I think it was a pretty fun segment. It didn't advance things too much, but the crowd in Perth seemed to love it. What did you make of the segment?
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, Cody Rhodes just sort of, I think it was probably a bit of a letdown for Cody. I'm sure for Seth Rollins as well. After the, excitement and drama in Las Vegas. I mean, okay, I mean, I don't know if they're ever going to top that. They're probably never going to top that. I hope they do, but that's going to be a tall order to top that. And so they were there, and it was kind of a night off, wasn't it, really, for them? You didn't really have to try that hard. And we had Austin Theory stealing the mic from Grayson, who's really upset. And then when Cody and Rollins beat Theory down, Waller doesn't help. So, because he's the local face, of course. And, I think this was, I do worry for Austin Theory because he was doing really well 2 years ago and he hasn't really done a whole lot since WrestleMania in 2022. And he's obviously can do everything. And I'm not quite sure why they're not doing more with him. So, I mean, this was a good night for him, I guess. He got beaten up and he was relevant. People were talking about him. And Waller, was cheered and seemed like a star. So, yeah, I mean, it was okay. I wasn't really expecting a whole lot from it, to be honest with you. And I think it probably delivered as much as I thought it was going to.
Well, let's move on to the men's elimination chamber, which was, felt very big time. We started it with Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, Logan Paul, and Randy Orton in the pods. And then we had Drew McIntyre and LA Knight kicking off. Let's go through me. So, how did, in terms of who had a good night, let's talk about, we'll go Bobby Lashley first. How was his night here?
Well, he had been injured, hadn't he, in an angle on SmackDown by Karrion Kross. So he went into the match with his arm all bandaged up because he'd been struck with a chair by Karrion Kross. So he was selling that, and that was kind of his excuse for being eliminated. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, really. I mean, I'm down on Bobby Lashley at the moment because he's stuck with Karrion Kross, and we don't need to spend any more time talking about that. So, I mean, I thought Logan Paul did well here. I thought he had a really, really good night. And he must have been elated when he found out what was going to happen here. Because you know he thinks the world of Randy Orton. He really looks up to him. We know this because he had him on his show back in December. And he really just like is in awe of who Orton is and what he's done and what he can do. So this was a great night for Logan Paul, actually, wasn't it, Kenny? Even though he didn't win.
Well, even I mean, even when he was in his pod, and he was, he was drawing like stuff on his pod talking about how Kevin Owens sucks. Like he even kept like his vest on when he was in the pod, and then commentary would start talking about it. How does this guy get wrestling so quickly? Like even in the moments where he's in a pod, he's still making sure that people are talking about him and the people are. And not in a way that feels like he's being disrespectful to the other competitors in the match. By writing the stuff that Kevin Owens, he's bringing Owens into the gimmick. It's an he's it's almost annoying how good he is at all this because he's just nailed it. And by the end of it, when he obviously had that moment with Randy Orton, you were going, yeah, that feels like a WrestleMania match.
He does.
And it poor Kevin Owens, because he probably isn't going to be involved now, but I mean, Orton needed a big match. Logan Paul feels big, and I think that the stuff they can do on the mic will be interesting because I could see Orton really having some fun with that.
Oh, definitely, And the thing, I think the difference now with the current creative regime, and certainly with Logan Paul, is maybe they'll be scripting some stuff for him, but I think a lot of what he's doing, they're just going to say, you just be you, because we can't write you better than you can, narrate you. Because he's obviously got his own character, which he's playing in WWE. So it's not like they're going to be coming up with dialogue for him that doesn't fit his character. So I think they're just saying, just do what you think works on the night and what matches your character. And I think that is a huge part of the reason he's been so successful, is that they're not trying to pigeonhole him or make him say and do things that his character wouldn't say or do. I think it's just that simple. And also, we talked about at the time when he was a face, just all wrong. And he worked that out. It's like, listen, I need to be a heel. People don't like me, and I need to just go with it. And that was the other, big turning point for him. But I mean, he was tremendous here. I thought Paul, I mean, he had the brass knucks there, and he's got them out, and he's holding them up so everyone in the big venue could see them. And he's just, I'm going to use these, and I'm going to knock someone out. I'm going to win this thing. And the camera work was perfect. And it was right there, and it was the RKO from out of nowhere, and that was just beautifully set up and shot, and that's something WWE does so well. So Orton hits the RKO on Logan Paul, eliminates Logan Paul, and then Paul re-enters the chamber, drills Orton with the brass knucks, and that's the ending. Drew scores the pin, right? I mean. True. I mean, they said it was warm there. They said it was actually cooler on Saturday than it had been, and just as well. I mean, how much weight must have lost in that match just in sweat alone? I mean, he must have lost a ton of weight. He was just, I've never seen him look so exhausted. And all, due to the heat. It was such a long, grueling match as well, right?
It was. I mean, I was so impressed though overall with this match, but how they set things up. Like LA Knight, for example, we knew he wasn't gonna win. And he's in there first and you're going, right, what are they gonna do with because in the old regime, I know we talk about this quite a lot, but in the old regime, LA Knight would have been pinned and out of this match and forgotten about. That would have been the booking. He would not have been factored in any for I mean he'd be lucky to be in this match in the old regime, to be honest. But in this, it was like he got out of the match because of AJ Styles, because AJ came in and obviously, battered him with a chair. So you basically set up your WrestleMania match there for LA Knight and AJ Styles, which, we're not exactly going to be doing, backflips of excitement at AJ Styles. But I mean, it's something for LA Knight to do. And that's good. But I like the fact they had that going on. They had the Orton and Logan Paul stuff, like you mentioned. Bobby Lashley was there. Kevin Owens did well, even though he's not really got a direction at the moment. I think you mentioned a heel turn for him. I think that's probably going to be on the cards for him pretty soon. I actually wouldn't be annoyed at Kevin Owens turning and maybe doing something with Bron Breakker at WrestleMania. If there's not much else for Bron Breakker to do, Owens is very good at getting people over and working with people, so maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. But
Yeah,
yeah, and
I could go for that. Yeah, I like the sound of that. And Owens is somebody who will, give Braun, a challenge. Can do he can do everything. Can Owens, and it would be a really competitive match. Obviously, Breaker's going to win, but I think it could be good for both of them. And then Owens as a heel, maybe he reunites with Sami Zayn after Sami Zayn turns.
yeah, I mean, because there's loads you can do. You can kind of have the story of Bron Breakker. Even if Logan Paul and Kevin Owens have a TV match and Kevin Owens loses, and somehow, Bron Breakker comes out to make the save or something, and Kevin Owens, he main evented WrestleMania, is now he's not on the show, and Bron Breakker's getting all this attention. And then if this run from Kevin Owens does well, and Cody wins the belt, Cody and Owens can be a program,
Yeah.
because there's loads they can do. So I think that might be the direction of travel, but. All in, they put all this stuff in there so that when Drew McIntyre did win in the end, it didn't feel like, we knew it was going to happen, it was obvious, but it didn't feel like it was just a lazy way to get there. Because by having Logan Paul, once he got eliminated from Randy Orton, come back in, do that brass knucks punch, McIntyre pins Orton, and Michael Cole shouting, "Not like this, not like this." It was really good. I really enjoyed it, and I thought that Drew. I mean, this has got to be the hottest period of his career by far for
Oh
me.
yeah, absolutely.
Even hotter than that, winning that Rumble against, because even though he won that Rumble in 2020, this has been a sustained, excellent work for months. It's been constant. So he's done really well.
Yeah, I agree.
I did want to give a quick shout out to R-Truth. I don't know if you saw R-Truth's video at the weekend,
No.
where he had travelled to Austria for the Elimination Chamber because he got it wrong. I mean, you just think, what? How clever is that that he just like comes up with this stuff where you can just put a video out on social media and then people will be talking about him. So,
I'll make a point of watching that.
but I think overall, though, I mean, Elimination Chamber got me a thumbs up show, pretty much.
Oh, we haven't done the main
Most,
event
yeah,
yet.
but I mean, just in general,
All right.
even at this point, like you after the two chambers and the tag title match. At that point, you could have gone home happy. They had given you so much stuff. But then they do something new. They do something that they've not done since WrestleMania 37, really, which is have in a stadium two women headline the show. And we talked in the lead up about how Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley, it was going to be a big test for Rhea to see if she could get it done, a big test for Nia to see if she could keep up.
Yeah.
So, how did they do, Finn?
Well, I mean, I thought they did okay. I mean, the layout of the match all made sense. I mean, Nia was really roughing Rhea Ripley up, wasn't she? I mean, at one point she grabbed her and one of her earrings came out, and like she was just like slamming her around and roughing her up in the corner. And I was thinking, well, presumably this has all been agreed in advance. The idea being that, the worse and the harder the beating that Nia inflicted upon Rhea, the more heroic Rhea would look when she recovered from it and then scored the pin. That's that is the concept of pro wrestling. Oftentimes we don't see that in matches, do we?
No,
It's
we
not
don't.
really that hard to get your head round, but it requires someone selling, the thing I'm always banging on about. And Rhea sold loads in this match, didn't she? She really should seem very vulnerable out there. And it was very different for her to, in fact, they mentioned it on commentary, that they'd never seen Rhea this tested in this much trouble since a match with Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania last year, which I think is a fair, I think that was a fair comment from the from the announcers. And in some ways, that's kind of a bit of an indictment of, how poor her reign has been. I mean, it was not, she just needed better opponents, didn't she? She didn't really have that many like stellar matches in a reign last year when you think about it. I mean, there was a Zelina Vega one was an unexpected hit. But I mean, you tell me another match she had last year that was really, amazing. There
I
wasn't
think
that many.
the fact that the Zelina Vega one is the most memorable is kind of the most telling thing you could say about it, because although that was a fun moment in Puerto Rico, that should not have been. But she just didn't have the opponents, it felt like,
No.
at that
No,
point.
she
So
did,
maybe.
and I really hope that, she has the opponents, this year, assuming she retains the belt against Becky Lynch, which she may not. But I mean, it was yeah. At one point, Nia hit two power bombs and a leg drop for a near fall, and Rhea really looked like she was struggling out there, and that she was in the fight of her life, which was the match story, and it was the story that they ought to have told and did tell. I think I was maybe expecting a little bit more from it than it delivered, but I
Yeah.
think it was still really well put together. And in the end, Rhea, kept making comebacks and the crowd were behind her. And she finally hit the riptide for the 1-2-3, which was the only finish that they could have booked in that spot on the card on a show from Perth, Australia. So it all made sense. It wasn't quite as good as Nia's match with Ronda Rousey, I don't think. I don't think it was quite as dynamic as that, but
No.
I think it was still pretty good.
Yeah, I think they deserved the spot based on what we got. Like it was like I think where they were, they're in Australia, Rhea's family in the front row, and I think the story, like you said, the story they told was really good. It had Nia as the monster. I thought Nia did step up here in terms of being able to keep up with Rhea enough to be, I mean, you wouldn't put this match on WrestleMania, but to put it on this show and to have it be on last, I felt it was a good move. And I think it's good for Rhea. It's good for her to have this kind of accolade that she's done this. And yeah, people really seem to enjoy it. And I'm curious what happens with Nia now. You know, maybe she finds someone to get in a team again. I don't know what she's going to do next, but it'll be intriguing because, you know, I mean, at WrestleMania, there's quite a few women who are over who are not doing anything. Is Bianca going to be doing anything? Is Nia going to be doing anything? Is Liv Morgan going to be doing anything? There's people that we don't really know where they're slotted yet, so I'm guessing that'll come in the next few weeks. But
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was the right decision also in hindsight not to book Jade Cargill in Elimination Chamber.
yeah.
We talked about that before the show, and it absolutely was because she of course couldn't win. This was Becky Lynch's night. I mean, in some ways, maybe I was slightly disappointed that Becky Lynch didn't come out afterwards to confront Rhea, but I think they thought, well, this is Rhea's night. So if we send Becky out to the ring, play her music, then we're diluting, Rhea's moment. She has to then share it with someone else. But I think had that happened and they had that confrontation, maybe that would have been better than what they did give us. I don't know. I can understand why they did what they did, because they
Yeah.
thought, well, we can just do that on Raw, which they can't they?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Raw will be quite interesting tonight to see where everything's headed because now there's nothing else before WrestleMania. So now we're fully on the road to seeing what we're gonna get. So I mean, overall,
Absolutely.
Elimination Chamber, what are your summary thoughts? I mean, it was a very predictable show in the sense that it didn't really provide anything that was we weren't expecting, but I mean, I guess that's kind of the point in some ways, right? Because, it was one of my other half's friends asked me a question. He said, "Do you know who's going to win all these matches on this show?" And I said, "Well, yes, but in WrestleMania, we probably won't know who's going to win them all." And that's really what you're building it towards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I'm doing the write-up for this in the ITR magazine, and this might seem like a bit of a lame title, but it does work. And I'm probably going to call it No Surprises because there weren't any, were
No,
there?
there wasn't.
I'm a big believer in when you go, sometimes when you're writing an article, you'll try and come up with a title that's clever, that doesn't really match what you've written, but you're like, well, it's a great title. But yeah, it doesn't match what you're writing or the show or the content of the show or your review of the show. And therefore, it's like irrelevant, isn't it? So
Yeah.
it doesn't work, does it? Because it doesn't describe what you're writing. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good show. I mean, yeah, there was only, what was the, five matches, including the pre-show match.
Yeah.
Didn't need any more matches than that, did it? It just
No.
didn't. It was plenty long, a lot long enough. The main show was, I think, 3 hours, 33 minutes. So, including, the highlights at the end. So yeah, it didn't need any more to it. There was, I don't think anyone when the show ended could have felt shortchanged because there was so much action, lots of storyline advancements, which is, what we always want. And like you say, well, there was no surprises, but everything on the show made sense, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I saw because I saw I mentioned this when I spoke to Sondra as well. I saw someone had on Twitter reposted a thing from Reddit where it said that, Elimination Chamber was a 4.5 hour show that only had 1 hour and 55 minutes worth of wrestling. And it's like, well, that's not technically true because, and I think they were talking about, the people in the building. They only got 1 hour and 50 minutes of wrestling. It's like if you go to a WWE show, you know what you're going to get. Well, you know what WWE provide. You know that there's going to be some wrestling, there's going to be some promo stuff, there's going to be some talking segments, there's going to be video pack, there's going to be a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
And but then, if you go and see AEW, for example, you are going to get tons of wrestling matches constantly. And
Yeah.
people who want to see that, that's where they're going to go. And that's great that they can go there and get that. And it's great that the people who go to WWE shows can get their stuff. But as someone who's been to a lot of live shows, what I will say is the upside of these breaks, I guess, from in-ring action is that you can go and get a beer, or you can go to the toilet, or you can go to, check out the merch stand.
You can
It's
have
you
a rest.
can have a rest, because then it's like you're kind of being, you're getting to have a rest before the next thing comes on. Like Elimination Chamber, I never felt at any point exhausted by what was on, and I always compared it to WrestleMania 35, which was one of the most exhausting live experiences I've ever had, and I never would want to have it again. Which was 7 hours of
Yeah.
just constant stuff. But here it was, I mean, if you look at that crowd were very happy
They were.
through what they got. So I think that it was a success. And also, I think there's something that's a good indicator is that this show was completely built around full-timer people. There
Yeah.
was nobody, there was no Brock Lesnar on it, there was no Rock, there was no Roman. And if you can start doing stuff like that without having to rely on those people, then it'll mean that we hopefully won't go back to the part-time arena again.
Exactly. I mean, even Logan Paul. I mean, he wrestled on SmackDown, didn't he? And the Friday before last. And he's almost feels like a full-timer now. I know he's not. He's obviously not doing house shows, but I mean, he has been around a lot. And he didn't dominate the match. He obviously wasn't going to win it, and played an integral part in Orton pinning him, and then Drew pinning Orton. So we now know what Logan Paul and Orton are going to be doing at WrestleMania. They're going to be having a match with each other, which does feel really big, as you said earlier. And yeah, I mean, it's like another big part of WWE as well is the entrances. That's a huge part of going to see a big budget, show. It's like, I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, right? And I'm not, it's not, I actually don't mind some of her tracks. I actually think, some of her tracks are really good. And, she's a big, biggest star in the world in terms of entertainment, and she deserves a success. But I imagine if you're going to see her show, it's the costume changes, it's the lights, it's the dance, it's the package, isn't it? It's not just the numbers, it's not just the songs.
But so,
It's
but
just,
similar to your point, but what's good is if you go and see Taylor Swift, that's what you expect, right?
yeah.
But if you go and see Bruce Springsteen, you know he's going to have you there for 3 hours and he's going to play every known track imaginable. But you kind of know that going in, and you know what kind of thing you're going to get. So I think that, for what, I mean, when we were reading it about a month ago, going, right, there's going to be no Brock, there's going to be no Roman, there's going to be no Gunther. Like, what are they going to do? And they just kind of gave you a good show. And I thought both the chamber matches over delivered.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think they did a really good job. So, the next time we come to you talking about PLE is going to be WrestleMania, which is very exciting. So, probably what will happen is we'll record our WrestleMania review on the Monday, I would think, of that weekend. I'll still be in Philadelphia, but we don't want to make you guys wait too much longer. So if we can do it on the Monday, we will. We'll obviously
Yeah.
talk about that amongst ourselves. But yeah, but before that, you can always join us on Patreon at patreon.com/insidetheropes, because in just about 3 weeks' time, we'll be covering WrestleMania 20, where it all begins again, Finn. That was the
Yeah.
tagline.
Yeah, I've only watched that show once in its entirety. I've watched, gone back and watched matches,
Yep.
but I've never watched the whole thing.
You mean you've not on an evening when you've been just bored thought, I'll just watch the two four-way tag team matches from WrestleMania 20.
Oh, that was a strange show, wasn't it? Some of it was really good and some of it wasn't. Some of it was just awful.
Yeah, it's going to be a real page turner for you to go through with us.
Yeah, those shows always are, aren't they? Where you, because like now there's more consistency in WWE, isn't there, than there was back then? Far more
Yes.
consistency. And like, it's not often that you get like a number of bad matches. You might get one. But I mean, the consistent, it's so much more consistent now than it was back then in terms of the quality of the overall show. So, yeah, WrestleMania 20, I'm really looking forward to actually watching it again, particularly Goldberg versus Lesnar with Austin as the ref. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but you know, sometimes, you know, I always say, you know, if it's going to be bad, let it be diabolically bad.
Well, we will watch that social experiment in its entirety. But yes, thank you for all your support, everybody. InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. You can go. The new issue is out, issue 42 is out on Thursday, the 29th. But you can go and pre-order your copy now at InsideTheRopesMagazine.com, or you can go and pick up the PowerSlam yearbook 1994 at PowerSlamMagazine.com. Do go
Hey, it's
check
a good
that out.
job, isn't it, Kenny? Can I just chime in here? It's a good job I didn't reveal on the podcast who the cover star of the next volume
Oh, I
was going to
know.
be.
Well,
Because.
the good thing is, I think, because you initially had a cover star, right? You
Yes.
were going to tell me off air, and you did tell me, and then it changed. But I do think that the person that it's changed to, and what it's going to look like, is way better than what
Yes.
was going to be. So you've upgraded it, really, is what you've
It's
done.
an upgrade, Kenny, and people don't even know what the upgrade is, but it's an upgrade.
I know. There you go. Yeah, maybe once the next one's out, we can maybe reveal to people who what the original idea was. People might be interested to hear that kind of behind the curtain stuff. So, but yeah, want to thank you for all your support, everybody, and let's channel all of our positive vibes to Finn and hope that he can be Velux one more time tomorrow and not have to think about it ever again.
Yeah, anyway, yes. People are
Anyway.
probably tired of hearing about my Velux windows, Kenny. And they'll be as relieved as I am, and probably you will be when it's the job is finished.
Hopefully, the job is finished by the next time we speak to you later this week. So, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping
and 365-day returns.